time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation. Whether you're a new cigar enthusiast or a cigar aficionado, we have something for everyone, bringing you the best interviews, cigar reviews, and weekly giveaways. So grab yourself a cigar.
It's time to light them up.
Welcome back to Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We got Bryant Falconer, the one and only extraordinaire co-host of Cigar Talk. Nah, bro, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing good.
Don't play all humble. We know you doing... out signing autographs, taking pictures with women.
I am hiding. I want to be infamous, not seen.
I'm infamous.
I'm not saying that. It's the wrong show.
Yeah, right. We'll get to that show later. For the Light 'Em Up Crew show.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know, we do two shows a week.
Yes, sir.
Do one for everyone, mm-hmm. and then we do one for our Light 'Em Up Crew, which is the Patreon members.
Yes, sir.
And so if you're interested in being a Patreon, you can look down in the show notes. There's a link. Boom, bang. You can become a Patreon.
Man, get 911 ready.
Why? Somebody playing
Jay
with a
over
knife?
There playing with a knife.
We've got a couple of folks in the studio with us tonight. We have Debo, who's running the cameras, and then we've got J-Man,
who
owns the Leaf.
Leaf.
And I got some business to talk to with Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Some real business.
Real business.
As I like to say, I got some business.
You know, but where'd you get that from?
You ain't never heard that?
Oh, I know. I've heard that my entire life.
Yeah, me too.
Business.
Let me tell you a funny little story before we jump in.
Okay.
So earlier today, I cooked ribeyes for me and my daughter.
Okay.
And you know what? This is not even a plug. I use the Mac Daddy's original spot seasonings. Boom, dude. He's made me into a chef. Anyway, enough about Mac Daddy. And by the way, in the show notes, you'll have a link to Mac Daddy's. But anyway, she wants me to cook her ribeyes. Uh-huh. So I go cook her ribeyes. And then I did the roasted, shredded Brussels sprouts. Which were amazing. And of course, my daughter wanted to contribute, so she made mac and cheese.
Mm.
You know.
Okay.
And you know what you do when your daughter makes just plain old mac and cheese? You say thank you.
You enjoy it.
Right.
You show that you enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we're sitting down, and I had a little sauce that I was pouring on my Brussels sprouts, and I used all of it. It all came out. You know what I mean? And no, there wasn't much left.
Oh, I thought you were trying to sprinkle it.
And I set it on the table, and I said, that's all she wrote. And my daughter looked at that bottle and was like, where does it say that? And I said, you don't know what that's all she wrote means, do you? And she was like, well, what does that mean? And I was like, that means it's over.
It's over.
End of the game.
Done.
And I was like, different generation, baby.
A couple of different generations.
I mean, because that's like our common lingo.
That's all she wrote.
Poof, boom. Yes. Exactly.
Good night, Irene.
I just thought it was funny. I was like, wow.
Yes, sir.
Do I feel old? So anyway, let's jump into what we're smoking tonight.
Oh. Me, I'm smoking a McAuliffe Experience.
Nice.
I took the, where'd it go?
You took a picture.
There it is.
And I am smoking the very last. I've been saving this stick for a long time. Well, I say a long time, probably 6 weeks.
That is a long time for you.
It's just been in the, okay. All right, let me rephrase that. It was lost in the back of the humidor.
So you weren't saving it. You just couldn't find it.
I wasn't even looking because I thought I smoked them all.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, when I pulled the drawer all the way out, I was like, oh, what's that stick? Thank you, Mr. Robert Caldwell, for the swollen cock. The last.
I thought those were gone.
I did too.
I'm about to start doing like Luke and looking in the humidor.
You never know what you might find
in there.
So anyway, this is the last one. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to save it.
We know that.
So anyway, and then we are drinking tonight. Let me pull up the bottle here. We are drinking the Russell's 10-year.
10-year.
And you know, I was surprised by this because it's only 90 proof.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was 100 proof, and I normally don't drink too much below 100.
Yeah.
And this is right on the cusp of me liking. It's like I really do like it, but if it was a few more proof less, I wouldn't
you
like it.
You say you wouldn't like it.
No, because it gets, it starts getting on the sweeter side. And the thing about it is, I don't want anything really over 115. Mm. That's that 100 to 115, that's a nice zone for me.
Because we learned when we were young, you know.
Yeah.
Jay uses to clean pipes with now. Hey, we would drink.
I drank 90 proof Everclear. I mean,
I didn't say any. Where'd you find 90
proof
Everclear?
No, 180 proof. It was 90%.
Like, yes. 90%.
Dude, when you took a drink of that, you saw vapors.
You saw more than vapors. You saw your life, your spirit going with it.
Dude, let me tell you something. One night, me and a buddy, and this was back in high school, but me and a buddy went to a party. And it was a bunch of tech guys. We were in high school, but the tech guys would throw parties and then charge us admission.
Yeah.
So we got there way early. I mean, like 7 o'clock. We were the first people there. And it was at a house. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we go in the kitchen and there's a big old barrel of trash can punch. Mm-hmm. And they put, I don't know how much punch in it. And then there's like 2 gallons of Everclear.
Everclear sitting over there, yeah.
And one of the bottles had just about that much in it, and I was like, hey man, you care if we do some shots with that? And they were like, nah. No, they were like, knock yourself out.
Nah, go ahead.
Because you know they were like laughing their asses
and this
off.
Was in the 80s, so there was no there was no video. So if they'd had the phones and everything they have today, we'd be laughing at Rob. Oh. Right.
Hey, so let me tell you, that night my best friend, his girlfriend showed up. And I remember it being dark and them calling my name. They were like, oh, he must have left. And I was going, no, I'm over here.
Death was pulling you down. And he was like, it's dark everywhere. But there's the light. Rob. Hey, Rob.
I was laying in the grass in the backyard.
As usual.
And they didn't see me, but I was like, don't leave me.
How did you not become a horticulturist? Right. You've laid in grass, bushes. It didn't matter. As long as it was foliage, we could find you. Right.
You know, they have a name for that dude. What's his name that does the animals? Dr. Doolittle? I'm just Dr. Do.
Just Dr. Do anywhere. Dr. Do anywhere.
Anyway, that Everclear was a very bad experience.
Oh, heck yeah.
I can't even imagine that you sell that anywhere.
They still do.
I know.
As we were saying, Jay cleans pipes with it now, and we were drinking that stuff.
Yeah.
And thinking, nah.
Because it's no flavor.
Oh, no.
I mean,
it is straight alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this Russell's is way better than that.
100% better.
I just don't like it when it starts getting too sweet.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Got you.
So anyway, let's talk about our sponsors right quick. We've got Viva La Vida Cigars.
Viva.
If you haven't tried them, you're missing out. Look down the show notes and you'll have to see a link to them. Then we've got McAuliffe Cigars.
McAuliffe.
You're smoking one.
Yes. The Experiencia.
No, that's the La Crema.
No, this was Experiencia, brother.
Are you sure?
I can read and I know the taste.
All right, well,
God.
I didn't have my glasses on when I gave it to you.
No, you fall in that dark light again.
So, anyway, great smoke.
Yes.
I've been smoking a lot of La Crema, too. So
you weren't sharing that. Oh, you probably out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're probably out.
So, anyway, I'm smoking the Swollen Cock. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's talk about you can become a McAuliffe ambassador.
Yes, sir.
You can join the Facebook group.
Yes, sir.
And
you get your coin.
You get your own coin. They have so many things going on. And if you don't have them in your shop, make sure you're asking them to bring them in.
That's right.
And it doesn't have to be the whole line.
No, sir.
It could be like one or two boxes.
Just start off.
They would just like to introduce themselves to your shop. And I promise you, you're not going
to
be
regretting it. You'll graduate to the line. Then.
Right. And the shop that brings them in, Jay can attest, they are a great partner to have.
Yes.
So. Anyway, look down the show notes if you would like to become an ambassador. And then we have Case Elegance.
Case Elegance.
Amazing humidors.
Swatch boxes.
And travel humidor cases.
Travel humidor cases.
Lighters, cutters.
And
man
the man
bag.
Totes. You showed me your man, tote the other day.
What'd you think
like,
about that?
That is nice, man.
You know.
Nice weight.
Zika thick. Got one.
He did?
Emmanuel got one. Sean got one. Dude, they're badass.
It's the part of being in the light 'em up crew. Now.
Yeah.
You got to get you a Case Elegance man tote.
Dude, And then Jack's got one of their humidors. Zika got one.
He carrying it on the rocket.
Yeah. And then Jay or Tim has one.
Yes.
Dude, and everyone I've talked to, because, you know, here's the thing, guys. When we have a sponsor and people buy some of their stuff, I go, hey, I want legit feedback.
Let me know exactly what you think
right.
about it.
Yes. Because I will give the company feedback.
Yes.
And if they're not responsive, then we move on.
Move on.
Because, and it's like, not that we think that we're important, because we're not, but we want to.
We appreciate who listens to.
Yeah. We appreciate our people more than we appreciate them. No, you know what I mean.
But it's the truth, because if we suffered that at one time.
Yeah, we went down that road, and it was ugly
for a while.
For you.
Yeah, because you gave me all.
So this cigar company, many years ago, decided to sponsor the show, and they sent us 8 boxes of cigars. I smoked 4 cigars and gave the rest to Brian.
All the boxes. And I became a great giver. Everywhere I went, I gave.
I mean, yeah. All right. We will never do. We learned our lesson.
You'll never see me with another one of those.
Yeah. And you know what? You remember, what's his name, that does David Blanco.
Blanco.
He was on the show one time, and I told him, because this was after that happened, and I said, we will only let people sponsor the show that we love their products. Yes. And he said, you're leaving too much money on the table if you go that way. And I was like, no.
You didn't suffer like we did.
I was like, that's if you can't be honest and transparent with your people, don't do it. Right.
What you doing it for?
I'm not doing a Ronco commercial here. You remember old Ronco?
Yes, I do. So, and then we got the Leaf.
The Leaf. Oh, wait, one more thing about Case Elegance. If you order through them, they're running out quick. But if you use the code Cigar Talk Coin, you get your own challenge coin with our logo on one side and their logo on the other.
Yes, sir.
So if you're wanting to get one of those, you better hurry.
Hurry up.
Anyway, The Leaf.
1166 North.
Second.
North.
Yes, North Second. Yes, and, sir. You know, we want to take a minute to talk about the Leaf in a way we haven't before.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you really want to know what the Leaf is like, first of all, it's on a downtown street where you have that nostalgic feeling.
Yes.
Just by being downtown. Because I don't go to downtown for anything else.
Me neither.
So
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean.
I go there for the Leaf and the Leaf only.
I have been to. I've been to Vagabonds, but not if I hadn't already been to the Leaf.
I go somewhere I enjoy first. Then I'll trek out.
Because experience. It's like. I'm at the Leaf, and Vagabonds is close. Same thing with that Loft.
Yeah.
Great food. Have you been there yet?
Nope.
Dude.
Didn't I just tell you I go downtown for the Leaf?
I was at the Leaf before I was at the Loft.
Nope.
No, not the Loft, the local.
The local. It don't matter.
Anyway.
I leave the Leaf.
They do Mexican food.
Okay. The only thing I do is the Leaf.
Well, I'm telling you, it's worth the venture out if you're already down there and you want to eat and come back.
Mm-hmm. I get disappointed quick.
There's some places downtown.
I get disappointed quick. You don't want to see me when I'm disappointed because I'm like.
You're like the Hulk when he's angry.
Yes. That's my favorite.
That's me when I'm hungry. Or horny.
We're not going there.
Just kidding.
Let's go back to the Leaf.
I'm serious.
Let's go back to the Leaf.
Sorry. Let's get back to the Leaf. Anyway, so when you go in the Leaf, I mean, you're downtown already.
Yes, sir.
You have all that nostalgia around. We got museums downtown. We have art galleries. There's all kinds of cool stuff down there.
Gotcha.
But we go to the Leaf. And when you walk in, there's this great, like, lounge feeling with all the cigars, cutters, lighters, everything
pipes,
you can want in the front room.
Right there.
And then you walk by and you'll see Jay's office. He's in there working.
Yeah. So he says.
And then you walk around the corner you walk into this huge Noah's Ark of humidors.
I was talking to a guy. I went to this place a couple of weeks ago. And this guy that used to go to the old Leaf. He's like, yeah, I just found out about the new. I said, I told you the last time I saw you. He said, I thought you were talking. He said, but where is it? And I told him, I said, but the thing is, now when you go in there, the first place you got to go is to the humidor. He's like, why? I said, because it's like a fun house.
Because it's amazing.
It's amazing. You walk in, it's like it just goes forever.
Hey, and ever. Hey, now, Jay, what is the actual dimensions of the humidor?
You got to spa all that fun.
I think it's 1 million.
One million.
By 20 million.
Million.
That's what it feels like when you go in there.
Oh, man.
I mean, a humidor of that size, I don't see even when I go to, like, the big city lounges.
No.
So for Abilene to have a gym.
We have that.
Dude.
We have that.
Yeah.
You walk in there and it looks like it goes on forever.
And then you have, which in my opinion is the best coffee in this part of Texas. Not just Abilene. Because it's hard to find, like, I can find good coffee, but when I'm at the Leaf, I get great coffee.
Bro, I took my boss, my last boss there. He left and went somewhere else. But anyway, I took him there doing lunch one day. He was like, where are you going to go to lunch? I said, well, I go to the Leaf. I go to the Leaf. He's like, huh? I said, it's the Leaf. He said, oh, can I go? I was like, yeah, let's go. So we go down there, and I bought a cup of coffee, and I gave him one. He's like, they sell this here? I was like, yeah. He said, no, I'm talking about, dude. I said, they sell it in Bean.
He wanted some?
Yeah. He bought two bags.
Yeah.
And then
good.
And then a month later, he said, hey, Brian, can you go down to the Leaf? I was like, what, you want some more coffee? He said, man, where do they get this stuff from? I don't know. I said, but it's great, ain't it? He's like, yeah. That's the experience we get there, man.
Yeah, because Jay orders his coffee straight from Virgin Land.
It tastes like that.
Where everything is perfection.
The angels were picking the beans.
Yeah. So, and then that's just part of the experience, mm-hmm. because if you become a Havana Room member, the club, you walk into this door and you have like a little walkway where there's like a kitchenette area so that you have glasses and ice, whatever you need to go with your beverage of your choice. And then there's this beautiful wall of these wooden lockers. What's our number?
15. Because 14 is the one on the corner. We're right next to the one on the corner.
We are on the corner.
Yeah, no, we're not on the corner. It's bullshit. One on the corner.
We are on the corner.
What did you just say?
I said bullshit.
Oh, my God.
We are on the corner. No, I know we're on the corner.
No, we're not on the corner. Pull your skirt down.
We're not on the corner?
No, we're next to the one on the corner.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, we are next to Doug, but I thought Doug was down below.
No.
I don't know. Anyway, beautiful lockers. And the cool thing is the back of the lockers is opening to the storage facility for the cigars, and it's completely humidified, just like the humidor.
Refrigerated. So whatever sticks you put in your locker are just as safe as they are in the humidor.
Yeah, you know what we need to do?
What's that?
Is put cigars in there.
No, I'm not trusting. I'll come back and there'll be none.
No. Put some in there and just forget about them.
Yeah. Until you go in there.
And then, like, 2 years later, when you're, like, opening it up and there's nothing in there, I'll be like, dude, I got in there last month.
No, you got in there right after they were put in there. Open the door. Wait a minute. He put some sticks in there?
Hey, bright line.
Yep.
So, anyway. And here's the thing, guys, that Jay at the Leaf, he carries Viva La Vida and McAuliffe cigars.
Yes, sir.
And so if you'd like to try either one of those, you can call them up and they will put together a package for you. And when you do packages from the Leaf, you are getting a fresh shipment with Boveda package.
He said it's 4,900 cubic feet.
4,900 cubic feet. Just that measurement alone makes me think I'm in the Matrix.
Just don't do that. Stop. Oh. Stop doing that.
Oh, sorry.
We're not going to take you to the hospital. Crack. Oh, I'm done. Nah. But 4,900 cubic feet.
Yeah, I don't know that. Like when you tell me that,
cubes.
I don't know. Yeah,
cubes.
I don't know that.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm a two-dimensional guy.
He's lost.
I'm a two-dimensional guy.
Paper and writing.
Boom.
You make it HD. He's like, what is that? Wait a minute.
Right.
They look like they're coming at me. But, so, man, it's a great trip to come down to the Leaf. As we said again, 1166 North 2nd Street.
And look down in the show notes, we have the phone number to the Leaf. You can call them at any time, and they'll send you an order. They're open 7 days a week.
7 days.
So, anyway, let's jump into this week's pick six. You know you're going first. Hope you have your list ready.
Because if I didn't, it didn't matter. Then.
Right.
Because I'm still going first. Okay, number one is going to be the Placencia Alma Frete.
What did you get the Figurado?
Yeah.
Or the Hexagon?
Hexagon.
See, that's not the one I like.
That's you.
It's too big.
So sorry.
That's 6x60.
So sorry. I enjoyed it.
I love that cigar in the Figurado, though.
So sorry. Number two was something that was a gift from Zeca, the Sin Compromiso.
Oh, nice. You smoked yours. I was hoping that you forgot about it and wanted to give it to me.
Bruh, come on.
Just saying.
And then my last one, I smoked this Saturday when I was there by myself in the Havana room. Padermo Maduro 10th Anniversary.
Oh, dude, which color is that?
The blue and gold, the dark blue and gold.
I was just telling Jay that I smoked that cigar for the first time. That was actually going to be on my list.
I'm glad I got my list first.
I'm not going to duplicate it, but I can tell you that was a delicious cigar.
Delicious stick, man.
Yeah.
I was sitting out there by myself. I don't care if they ain't here. I'm enjoying myself. But that's my list for this week.
Very nice, man. Good list. So, for me, I had a lot of good cigars this week. It was a busy week. Man, time flies.
Yes.
You know what? It really does. And so, anyway, I had the Alec Bradley post-embargo. You smoked that one? You got to try that. That's a really good stick. And, you know, I don't smoke a ton of Alec Bradley cigars, but... I mean, if I'm going to smoke Alec Bradley,
you're going to do it right.
Fine and rare.
And the post-embargo.
Zeca sent a link out about the Alec Bradley box of Fine and Rare, and they are $600. Oh, are you serious? Dude, what a dick. Dude.
He's looking.
That is a good stick. I mean, you would think. You would think that cigar right there would be worth three Amazon bases.
Woo! Oh, I see. Woo! I see.
I'm just messing with you.
Because truthfully, I used to be able to say that without
hesitation
that Rob doesn't share. But now...
Oh, I share a lot.
Now, I cannot say that at all. I can't. Because, yet and still, if you send something to both of us, please put mine in a separate package with my name on it. Because I still may not get that. But other things...
Do you know that only two people have actually done that? Usually, they just send the cigars to me.
Mm-hmm. Zeca made sure.
And Sean. Yep.
They make sure now. This is yours, Brian. This is it. And Sean even puts a list in there of what he put inside.
So you can double check it.
I love it, man. I love it. Oh.
Yeah, Sean includes an inventory list, so I can't
through all of it.
You're right.
I don't know. He ain't getting this one. Oh, yes, I am.
So anyway, back to my list. Mm-hmm. The Alec Bradley post Embargo is a really good stick. I think it's underrated, and I think it's over or undervalued. What do you want, a lighter, a cutter? You know, there you go, bud. So anyway, if you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. It's a nice medium plus stick. It's not too spicy. It's real woodsy, real earthy, not
it's
much
real
spice.
Good.
Yeah, it really is. And then number two this week.
Okay.
Was the 1964 anniversary, the 4.5.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. That's a good
Those
stick.
Those special sticks there.
Yeah, and you know,
yeah.
It's really, I mean, I think it was like $15.
Yeah, but it's still a special stick.
Oh, it's
one of those that, you know, you go a while without one, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. And then you get it, you're like, oh, I needed this.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, when you look at it like $15, $16 yeah. stick, and it's like extra special. Yeah, exactly. And then my last cigar of this week, choice, is... I'm going to knock you off your boots.
Let me sit down.
This is the Medallia. The Corona Extra.
The old trusty.
The old faithful.
The old trusty.
You know what? I mean, I can't go wrong. If someone asked me the other day, is the Medallia the best cigar you've ever smoked? And I was like, no, it's not.
But it's the most.
But it's a fantastic cigar. Yeah, yeah. And at $10 a piece, I'll smoke them all day long.
You like Yosemite Sam. What does he have in his holster? A Medallia. A Medallia.
It's a solid, awesome stick. Yeah. And I love it. It has a very complex blend. Mm. It burns, smokes perfectly every time. It's my go-to. So anyway, hey, guys, we have some great interviews coming up. We're going to do them back to back. So first, we have Yanko from Tabanero Cigars. And I told you guys a few weeks ago on the show that it was my cigar of the week, and I have fallen in love with these cigars. I mean, I think they are up there in the upper echelon of cigars. And so I'm so excited to have Yanko on. He started the business. He's going to let us know, you know, where he comes from, how he started the business, what they're planning to do next. So you're not going to want to miss that. And then we'll go right into an interview with the Hooligans.
Hooligans.
Which, have you done the challenge yet?
Not yet.
By the time this show comes out, I will have done it.
Me too.
And so then I'm going to get my patch, and we'll talk to those guys about that so you know what the Hooligans are all about. And then we'll come back and wrap up with some nonsense.
As usual.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
I'm doing great. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to have you. Let me tell you, man. Your cigars are really freaking good, man.
I guess that's the result of persistency of every year looking for better and better and better. And a lot of my friends, they believe I have a good palate, so I'm able to spot a good blend. So this year has been amazing. I think this year it pushed us to do things that we were planning, I don't know, in 5 years or longer, but the cigars are coming out amazing, I guess, because we were pushed to change, you know, the strategies that we needed to change. And I will share more later with you.
Awesome. So I want to make sure I pronounce your name correctly. Is it Yanko or Yonko?
No, Yanko. Most of people, Yanko.
And so I also, because I know I probably butchered the name of your cigars on my show last week, is it Tabanero?
Yeah, Tabanero.
Oh,
Tabanero.
How about that? A West Texan.
You got it.
Right, man. So you got it. Let me introduce you right quick. This is Yanko from Tabanero Cigars, and I was fortunate enough to smoke some of his cigars not long ago, and you guys know I've already raved about them and how awesome they are. And so as soon as I smoked them, I wanted to get him on the show because, you know, for me, Yanko, it's like one of the biggest parts of a good cigar is construction. And the draw on your cigar is about as perfect as I've ever experienced.
And Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
It has great blends, but you know, for me, it all starts with the construction because you can have a great blend and a bad construction. It's not a good cigar. So if you have the perfect draw like you guys did and you use great tobacco, wow, what a combination, man.
Thank you. I believe that having the opportunity to do manufacturing and retail at the same time, in a sense that right now we have one cigar roller, but before Kobe, before the New World, it used to be six cigar rollers. So you learn a lot through manufacturing and listen to your customers only 20 feet away on the humidor. So I have both worlds during the last 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So the biggest issue with a cigar is draw.
Right.
That's the biggest issue.
That's the biggest issue, because if it has a bad draw, you just ruined my day. You know what I mean?
Think about it. You plan to go for dinner, and you brought two cigars on your pocket. And then you finish dinner. Everybody's outdoor. You cut the cigar. That's the only two you got. And it has no draw.
Right.
It's like, oh, my God, what do I do now? So draw is I'm amazed that there are some pretty respectable factories, brands in existence that they don't believe when I draw master. They keep supervising the draw on the cigar by the weight of the 50-count wheel. And it amazes me. I go, if their technology is available, how are you not going to have a draw master machine? A draw master, after you learn humidity, after you learn in the rainy days, you have to be more loose with the parameters. You have no issues with draw.
So you test every cigar?
Every cigar.
Man, let me tell you what, and that is my biggest criteria when I try a new cigar is the draw. Because if the draw's not there, I know that the experience is not going to be there for me. And what I loved about your cigar was it wasn't a good draw. It was a perfect draw. There was just enough resistance to where you know you're smoking a good cigar. Because, you know, you don't want a draw that's too loose. So you guys knock it out of the park with that perfect balance. And I was just like, wow. So you struck me right off the bat when I did a cold draw on it. And I was like, wow. So how long have you guys been in business?
I've been in business 10 years. It's always been retail. And many times in the past, magazines and bloggers has asked for us to do this that we are doing right now. But I guess I was shy in a matter that I was going, well, if I don't make enough cigars for me, why I'm going to go and be exposing to other venues if I'm not making enough for my clients? Because of COVID-19, after 10 years of manufacturing cigars right here in Ybor City, we realized that not having enough cigar rollers, we had to pull the trigger to start manufacturing some of the cigars, most of the cigars in Nicaragua, with people that we've been building a relation for many years. I've been going to Nicaragua since 2014 every year. So making cigars in Ybor City since 2010.
Wow.
And now we took our blends. For the last 3 years, we've been working with a blend with three different factories. And I finally said, I have to choose who's going to be my collaboration, who's going to be the person to follow my blends, my dream. And I think we hit jackpot because we bump into someone that is as passionate as I am, as young like me. And he really knows tobacco. He's original from Pinal del Rio. And through our conversations, you can sense that it's all about tobacco. That's nothing to do for him about numbers. It's just tobacco. So think about it. How important is that draw? That if you go too loose on that draw, all his expertise and knowledge that he has about Condega, Umetepe, Jalapa, you're putting a lot of good tobaccos in the blend, but if it's too loose, you're overheating the cigar. So you're missing all that good tobacco.
Right, burning it up.
You're burning it up. So draw has to be on point.
Well, they do amazing. So let me ask you this, Yanko. What did you do before you were in the cigar business?
I came from Cuba when I was 14. I to Miami. I was 9 years in Miami, and I did, I was in the aluminum trade. I used to do rain gutters, aluminum roofing, and I was chasing, I was young, I was chasing money. And on 2003, I moved to Tampa, Florida, cigar capital of the world. And when I saw the brick buildings, when I saw the cigar factories, it was like, I felt like in another life, I belong to this area.
It was in your
when
blood.
When I saw the rooster. Oh my God. I said, why is it that I feel here like I've been here before? And then I started reading and understanding the whole heritage about cigars in Ybor, in Tampa. And I came here. I started a restaurant, which is a few blocks from here. And that was my last try as an entrepreneurship outside of cigars. And I remember that between lunch and dinner, I used to walk 7 and see the many cigar shops making cigars. And I said, wow, this is fascinating. Not even Havana has so many people smoking cigars, walking the strip. I said, these people don't really know. They're not aware of such a beautiful historic district they have when it comes to cigars right here in Ybor. But I picked right away the most of the shops. They were doing souvenir cigars. They were doing naked cigars that you will buy, go home, put on your humidor, and a month later forgot which shop do you buy a cigar.
Right.
So I saw opportunity. I said, you know what? This is something that you taste, that you smell. I remember as a kid going to Piedra del Rio during the summers. I have an uncle that he was from Piedra del Rio. And I used to go to the tobacco houses. I used to see the fields. I had no clue that I was going to be involved in the industry. But the good essence, the good aromas, it will bring you back to places.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many years has gone by. So Ybor City, I saw the opportunity of working on a brand. I said, there's many shops, but there's not really a brand. And the last one, a small brand in here, it was La Gerencia de Cuba. Abraham Ramirez and his father sold the store, went to Nicaragua, and that was the last small brand. So I said, you know what? There's opportunity here to start a brand again in Ybor that represents Ybor. So we started on 2010, December 2010. And it's difficult. Cigars is really difficult. I'm telling you, you really have to have a lot of passion for this industry not to give up.
Yeah, because there's a lot of competition.
A lot. I mean, and it's pretty easy. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's pretty easy for a true cigar smoker to be able to feel your energy, to really believe if you're honest about what you're doing. You can say many things, but when you sit down and someone try your products, try your cigars, they will really know if you're honest about what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, dude, your craftsmanship comes through the cigars. I mean, I was blown away. I honestly was
blown away. Thank you.
And I smoke a lot of cigars from a lot of different companies, but I was like, I got to talk to this guy because they are making good cigars. So let me ask you this. Are you guys like available in other shops or are you just out of your one shop?
Well, you are the first person that invited me to the show. And the reason why I'm allowing myself to expose the brand is simple. We used to make 120,000 cigars in here in Ybor, and it was enough for yearly sales of our clientele. When you go to Nicaragua and you want to commit, you want to support something new, someone new, and new with his business. This person that we're doing the collaboration used to run the production for Adrian Fernandez, and I'm allowed to say it. I asked if I was here, if I was allowed to say it, and yes, it's, we're doing cigars with Raymond Pages. He used to oversee the production for Adrian Fernandez, and he decided to go on his own.
Oh, okay.
So we are his first premium brand.
Wow.
So we both are working together every week through video. I'm going to Nicaragua now on the 2nd. I'm going to be there for 10 days. Now that we started this collaboration, I will go more often to Nicaragua. So, and I kind of went away. I'm so passionate about it that I just can't tell Raymond, make me 120,000 cigars and wait for me.
Right.
You understand? Oh, yeah. We're building a relation. He has he has 48 couples making cigars. I think, if I'm not mistaken, his operation is 120 employees. So I say, well, Yanko, if you really want to support his, my brand and his dream, we need to take this wholesale. We need to start sharing our product through wholesale. And this is the beginning. This interview with you that I really appreciate it. This is the beginning to wholesaling Tabanero brand to all the retailers.
So whenever someone, I wanted to change gears here for a second. When someone comes to your local shop and they get a cigar, are they getting a cigar like that guy right there behind you is rolling today?
Well, no, because FDA doesn't allow us. We gotta wait 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Supposedly, they believe that because we have to humid the tobacco to be a little bit more flexible, just damp.
Oh, okay.
And be able to roll the cigar. If you smoke that wet tobacco, it will get you sick. So if you come to my shop, we are making, for now, the really mild cigars in here in the shop. Corona Sweet Lips, Robusto Sweet Lip, Torpedo Sweet Lips. It's a small production. It's mostly for people that are new into the lifestyle.
Sure.
They want to start somewhere. That's what we're doing. The rest, we took the blends to Nicaragua. We ran the pages. We sit down. We did it over video. I went to Nicaragua. We sit down. And I have to accept the tobaccos available in Nicaragua. We don't have access right here in the U.S.
Right, right.
We don't have access. In the U.S., you go to Oliva Tobacco Company, and there's no secret. The most of the tobacco that gets here, it was tobacco that nobody wanted down there.
Ah.
So you have to get really creative. And sometimes I look back and I go, wow. If I was able to accomplish all this with a little bit that we have access here in the last 10 years, imagine what I have access to, the best of the best.
Right.
And that best of the best is the product that you try.
Very nice. Well, it was fantastic. And I got to tell you guys, if you haven't tried Tabanero cigars, how can they find your cigars, Yanko?
Which has made it a lot easier. They can go to Ybor Cigars, YborCigars.com. I just acquired that domain because it's hard to remember TabaneroCigars.com.
Right.
So we acquired Ybor Cigars. Y, B as in boy, O-R, Ybor, which is Vicente Martinez Ybor, the gentleman who founded Ybor City, the cigar industry in Ybor. So YborCigars.com. That would be the easiest way. I believe we're changing the industry in a sense that we have so much experience for the last 10 years in retail that when we think of doing business with a retailer, we just don't want to bring just the product. We want to share our experience for the last 10 years on Rojillo and Cigar Capital when it comes to all the tools that has worked for us. And I see many retailers with websites, and I understand why they don't sell cigars on their website, because it's really difficult. It's really difficult to find a credit card company that will allow you to sell tobacco online. It's really difficult. So we even doing, for the retailer that wants to test the waters with our product, you're doing an affiliate program. So you can go to our website, look for the affiliate program. And if they just put the Tampa cigar, Florida cigars on their website, they will get a percent, 50% of the sale of the cigar. That way they can start testing what the customers are saying about the cigars and later on bring it into the shop. That's another option.
No,
so that's
like
why
that.
I believe.
That gives the people a lot of opportunity to try.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I think that it's going to be not hard to get your cigars into cigar shops. And I know it's tough to get cigars into cigar shops because you're all competing for shelf space, but you have something special.
I believe so. I told my son, my older son, that the only person that you have to convince that you're doing something good and and believe that you're doing something as special as yourself. And I believe we have something special. I never, in the beginnings, it was a far idea of doing wholesale. I said, Yanko, you have chased money for a long time. Please try to find purpose in life by doing something that you really enjoy. And it's like anything in life. I met cigars, and it wasn't a first love outside. Right. You know, you met cigar, you start learning what a Ligero, a Viso, Condega, Jalapa, how to do a medium to full, the complexity, and you go, wow, I really enjoy this. And you start falling in love with the process. And I said, you know what? I don't care how long I have to put into this. I'm not in a rush. I'm enjoying this. So I never thought of wholesale. But it's like everything in life. When you learn and you expand your brain, if you don't keep changing, gets bored.
Well, you got to grow. That's the key. Yeah. Is as you gain that experience, you see where you need to grow your cigar company. And you didn't start out trying to go big. You started out trying to perfect the cigar. And so I appreciate that you went that route instead of coming to market on a large scale with just another cigar.
Yes. And I guess we have an attitude. We understand. And we even say it here in the shop. Sometimes people make a comment and we say, we understand our product is not for everyone. And we understand our cigars is not for everyone. And we're going to keep the same mentality in a sense that when I go into an area to pay a visit to say, hello, this is my product, I'm just going to choose the stores that they have some commonality with what I'm doing here. In a sense that when you read some of the reviews, they're top notch about customer service. What has got us here is treating people the same way you like to be served. So if I go into a store before and I park and I'm reading the review, doing my homework.
Yeah, you want to have the same type of owner of a cigar shop as you are passionate about what you do. And after this call, we'll talk a minute because I have a couple ideas for you.
All right. Thank you.
So let me ask you this. What kind of restaurant did you have? You sparked my curiosity.
Well, I love beef. Beef is what for dinner.
All right.
So I brought from Miami an Argentinian concept. It was new in here in Tampa at that moment. But I think it was too ahead for his time for Tampa. Some people will ask, oh, so they bring the meat with the skewer to the table. I said, no, that's a rodillo. That's a Brazilian rodillo. Argentinian is more in a grill and a parrilla, and they will take it to the plate. And I don't think it was a total failure because I was able to sell to a chef from a Peruvian kitchen. They came from Maryland, and he did the fusion of Peruvian seafood with Argentinian, and it still today is there. It's there, and it's pretty successful.
Well, so. if you're cooking beef, I'm all in.
Ah, I'm good at it. Argentinian style. Outside of skirt. And
yeah, my wife used to have a good friend. We had a family friend, and the wife was from Argentina. So we had a lot of experiences with really fantastic. And she was a chef. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, well, hey, Yanko, thanks for taking the time to join us and telling us about your cigar company and your business. And I just want to say thank you so much for sending us the cigars. They were amazing. I can't wait to smoke some more. And I've been telling everybody about them because I think you guys are knocking it out of the park, brother.
Thank you very much. And please always remember that here at Tabanero, we believe in the enjoyment of craftsmanship that allows you to stop time, reflect on life, and plan the future ahead.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, brother. Have a great week. Hey, guys. We have a group of guys that have formed a awesome cigar group. We're going to dig into that a little bit. The name of the group is the Cigar Hooligans. Is that right?
Hooligans of the Leaf.
Hooligans of the Leaf. And the funny thing is I love the play on the spelling because, you know, you got like the hooligans, like a cigar, and then you guys spelt it as hula, like a dancing Hawaiian girl or guy, I guess. And so how did you guys form this group? What was the reason to form a group? And what is the group intended to do? So let's break it down. Let's break it down a little bit further than that. How do you three guys know each other?
So we know each other from a few of the cigar clubs that are out there. Dan and I originally met, and then we met Chris. And that's really how we all kind of came together on this. This was really ultimately Dan that kind of started the whole thing in a roundabout way. Dan and I talked about doing something for a while, but Dan can give you all the background on how he became the first hooligan.
Oh, okay. So Dan was actually the first hooligan.
Yep. Yeah. So back in, what was it, Scotty, end of December, beginning of January,
yeah,
we were in one of the same clubs together, and Scott and I have always hit it off really well. I mean, just from the get-go, we got along really good, and we're discussing back and forth, and, you know, one of the ideas we had tossed about was that we would like to do something to give back to our community, but we weren't sure what to do. You know, we felt very strongly about several different organizations, Cigars for Warrior being one of them, you know, the Breast Cancer Foundation, Alzheimer's, heart disease, and we just didn't really know how or where to start, but we knew we wanted to do something. So we were in one of the clubs. It come time for me to patch in, and I was excited about getting my patch, you know. Kicked it around a few folks and come up with, let's do a hula dance, you know, when you get your patch, you know, do a hula dance, post the video in the club for everybody to see, just have a good time with it. You know, is that showing your excitement for a good achievement. So when I did that, there was a few of us that got into the hype side of it, and Chris being one of them, which is, we met Chris in the same club. So we posted the video, and at the end of the video, I challenged other prospects to do the same thing. We got a few people to do it, you know, showing that inner hooligan, showing that excitement, showing that side of you that maybe not necessarily everybody sees, because we all have jobs, you know, we work, we have to have professional attitudes, things like that. And it kind of grew from there. You know, we started kicking around ideas. Scott is actually credited with the design for our patch. I mean, that's 100% him.
Great looking patch, by the way. Great looking patch.
Right?
Yeah, he nailed it 100%, man. I love y'all's patch. It's one of my favorite patches of all the ones that are out there, just because it's fun. You know what I mean?
It
really encapsulates what we're looking for. Just happy-go-lucky, just have fun.
Well, I'm definitely going to do what I got to do to get mine, because I love the whole... In fact, you know how I found out about you guys? Was somebody sent me a private message with your patch and was like, hey, Rob, are you running the hooligans? And I was like, no, I never heard of them. And I was like, why would you think that I was running it? And he was like, I thought that guy on the patch was you, because his hair is crazy.
You know, and that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, for those of us who can grow a beard, because I'm one that cannot. But I think that there's a lot of guys out there that really can relate to the guy on the patch, just because in so many ways, I think it encompasses so many men that smoke cigars.
And you know, the cool thing about it, that, and you may have intended this or you may not have. I mean, I know it's a guy in a hula skirt, but it kind of looks like a caveman. So you have this caveman looking guy who's like smoking cigars, and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely me, you know. I've never wore a hula skirt, but now maybe so. Maybe I will.
There's a first time for everything.
Yes.
Yeah, there's always time.
So then after I saw the patch, I was like, well, I gotta check these guys out. And so I started doing some searching, and then next thing I know, man, I see you guys everywhere on Instagram, and I don't get on Instagram that often, which you probably figured that out because I'm really slow at answering messages, but it's like I don't get on there very often, but when I do, man, it's hooligan, hooligan, hooligan. Y'all are blowing up on social media.
So we like to hear that. That's we've only been doing this on Instagram now since the middle of June, and that's good to hear. I mean, that means that we're getting out to a big audience, and that's the intent. And there's really no specific audience that we're looking for. I mean, yes, there's cigars on the patch, but like Dan said, you know, our intent is to hit other organizations out there as well. Susan G. Komen being one of them, and our next one. And, you know, so it's not necessarily just about smoking cigars. The cigar community is huge. There's no question about it. And it, you know, crosses many ethnicities, races. It's very non-specific, which is a perfect platform for this.
So what's the criteria to become a hooligan? I mean, I know part of it, but I don't want to speculate. So give me the breakdown. If someone wants to become a hooligan, what's the process?
It's actually very simple. You know, we, like Dan said, I mean, initially it started out as a celebration dance. But it's really not just that. You know, people ask what a hooligan is, and it's really, you know, and Dan came up with it at one point. And pretty simply, it's that inner child, you know, and that's really what we're looking for. We want people to just do a simple challenge, and that is to take a picture of themselves doing something that they love. And it could be just sitting and smoking a cigar. It could be, you know, doing a little dance with your, you know, your grandchild or your children. Having a glass of wine with your wife, swimming, riding a horse. We have a picture of a guy taking a bath. I mean, it's just, it could be anything that you want it to be, whatever, you know, for 5 minutes gives you a little bit of inner peace, and a little bit of happiness to take you away from that stressful day.
I got to ask you, Scott, I'm stuck on the guy in the bath. I'm sorry. Was he smoking a cigar?
I'd have to go back and look, but he probably was. Yeah.
Cause that's
pretty sure.
He had a nice little candelabra on the side of the tub with him.
I'm thinking, cause I've never experienced smoking a cigar while I'm in the tub. So I might have to put that on my bucket list.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, but once you take the picture, I mean, we just ask that, you know, you're either holding a sign up in the picture or there's something that says, I am a hooligan, whether you type it onto the picture or write it onto the picture afterwards and before you post it onto Instagram. And then that's the last thing is just post it on the Instagram.
Do you save all the photos that people post? Like, I mean,
as long as their profile is public and not set to private, I repost everything so that we have them, so that if people go to the Hooligans of the Leaf profile, they can see every single one that's now, out there as an example.
How do we know that you're not working with the NSA and compiling a database of fun people?
Remember, we are hooligans.
That's right. So tell us about what the purpose is. I mean, I know you're bringing together a community of fun people, which I'm digging that already. So what's, like you said, you were looking at different foundations or charities to support. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, as far as Cigars for Warriors, it was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, these folks are out there fighting for us and for others, and they don't have the luxuries of life. And, you know, like we had said, you know, trying to find 5 minutes sometime in a day, a stressful day specifically, is a little bit difficult. And I'm not a soldier. I'm not a veteran. So I don't know what it's like to be you know, fighting and to be living amongst all of that. But I can only assume that if somebody were to hand me a cigar or something to just be able to sit back and relax and forget everything around me, if only for an hour, to me, that would be something special. So Cigars for Warriors was an absolute no-brainer for us to be able to, you know, get that message out and help the people that are out there fighting for not just our freedom, but for other countries as well.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because I Cigars for Warriors to me is the one of the best charities across the board of any charities. I mean, because I know you look at what different charities do, but giving a soldier a time to where they can relax and get away mentally from where they are. I've had soldiers that I've talked to that said, man, when we get together and smoke a cigars and start talking as a group, it's like you forget where you are and it takes you back home. And I mean, what a great thing to give to the people who support and, you know, protect us. So and plus on top of that, Cigars for Warriors is a platinum recognized charity, and those guys don't take any profit. None of the people who work for those guys take a dime. And I mean, dude, hats off for an organization that is that caring about the people that they support.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah,
sir.
You know, one of the things that we wanted to show was our compassion. Everybody looks at us as a society that smokes cigars. Well, we wanted to show them our compassionate side. We want our boys to know that we stand behind them. You know, we appreciate what they do. Like Scott said, I didn't get the chance to serve myself, but I want them to know that we're behind them 100%. And this is that one opportunity that we're trying to take to show that. And when them guys are there and they get that moment to decompress, whether it be a good day or a bad day or whatever, we want to be the ones that help them do that and let them know that, hey, you know, as a whole, we are behind you guys. We support you. You know, you are us, and that's how we want to be known.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and a lot of people – go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to add, like Dan and Scott, I never got to serve, but members of my family did. So anything we can do to support the troops, you know, I'm behind 100%.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Cigars for Warriors is one of those things that I think a lot of cigar smokers and others as well, you know, they want to donate. And, you know, it's one of those things of, well, I don't have a lot of cigars, so what do? Send one or two? You know, I don't have a lot of money. What do? Donate $5 or $6. But by us doing what we're doing, it allows people, you know, to take advantage of a very simple fun challenge, you know, pay a few dollars for a patch and know that the few dollars that they're spending on that patch is getting accumulated to become a much larger amount for us to then donate on everybody's behalf. It's not just ours. You know, we don't want the recognition for this. This is not about us. We take no profit either. We take, you know, what we received for the patch, and now we're selling stickers, and it goes into an account. At the end of the month, we give X percent to Cigars for Warriors, and the rest of it, honest to God, goes to buying more patches and more stickers, and that's it.
And who's behind the operations as far as mailing out the patches and all that stuff?
That would be me.
So you're the real hooligan here. You're the one doing the work.
He's the main wheel.
Hey, there's a team behind Cigar Talk, but when it comes to doing all the stuff, that's me. And so I completely understand that part of the gig.
So, well, you know, and
go ahead.
And Scott generally handles the IG side also. But we're also on Facebook. Chris has picked that mantle up for Facebook. He started a TikTok. What other one did you start, Chris? I know there was three of them.
But we have a Twitter as well.
Yeah. So we're trying to hit all the stages of social media because we know not everybody's on IG, not everybody's on Facebook, not everybody's on Twitter. But we want to afford everybody that opportunity to be part of something bigger.
Yeah, and I think you're definitely approaching, and you're being very successful on the social media that I've seen. And so hats off to you for whoever's behind that. I guess that'd be Scott. Is he doing that?
Yeah. Scott's the main one.
Hey, and let me tell you this, guys. So, you know, I don't know for sure which week this is going to be out on the show because, you know, I do lots and lots of interviews, and sometimes it's the next week and sometimes it might be 4 or 5 weeks out. But because of Scott on Instagram, he's like, hey, when are we doing this? Hey, when are we doing this? And, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get to it, man. Give me a minute. But that's the exact kind of guy you need shoring up a organization like this, because if you just send out one message, do you know how many people have sent me one message and we never did an interview because it's like, eh, they're not that interested, you know, blah, blah, blah. But Scott, he's like, hey, man, knocking on my door like every 15 minutes. I was like, all right, we'll do it. We'll make it happen.
Yep. And, you know, yeah. And that's one thing that we're pretty good about. Like I said, Scott runs the IG, does a great job at it. Chris runs the Facebook. He's doing a great job at it. And I go behind the scenes and I start reaching out to people, making those cold inquiries.
Sure.
You know, trying to rope in, you know, a celebrity or somebody that can actually help us get that word out. And if I see somebody on IG that has a lot of followers, I'll contact them. I'm like, hey, have you heard about our challenge? Have you seen our mission statement? You know, do you know what we do, why we do it, what we're about, and try and rope that in. But Scott does a great job on IG. And the nice thing, well, I say nice thing, but him and I are both a little bit impatient people, which
I
kind
thought
of fuels our fire.
I thought you were going to say anal, but I guess that fits too.
Well, there is that too. But, you know, that being impatient helps fuel us.
Absolutely, because man. It's a good quality to have when you're doing something like this because, like I said, man, people who don't, you know, stay after what they want to do, it just falls to the wayside. So I like what you're doing. And I mean, I like the overall vibe of it. So before we go, I want to like tell everybody or you guys, like Chris, tell us about what you do for, you know, what you do for a living. Tell us a little bit about you.
I work for the United States Postal Service. So, you know, it takes up a lot of time.
You deliver cigars.
I do.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to deliver the magazines. Or the other day I was delivering to a house and I just happened to be smoking a cigar and the guy came out. He was like, hey, you smoke cigars? I'm like, no. With it in my hand. And we just started talking. And so it's nice to meet people all over the place.
Yeah, this is the reason. Chris is the reason that cigar smokers across the United States are missing cigars.
Right. That's not me. That I can only deliver what I'm given. Blame the distribution center on that one.
You're not going to Texas to deliver cigars, so we're not blaming you, Chris.
No, it's honestly the system, the distribution centers, is they get so backed up at times, it's not even funny.
Hey, well, I mean, honestly, I've had a lot of success using the U.S. Postal Service. I think they do a great job on the overall big picture. I do know that I sent out a challenge coin to one of the Patreons, and literally it took 2 months to get there from Texas to Alabama.
Yeah, that's...
I said Alabama. I meant Georgia. Sorry about that, Jax.
The problem is sometimes they get stuck in the machines and they take it out and then they forget about it.
Yeah, his challenge coin was in Memphis forever. I mean, it was crazy. Yeah,
and especially depending with, especially last year with the COVID, we had so many people in the distribution centers go out with COVID. It just created such a backlog that we were still feeling it up to like a month or so ago.
Wow.
I delivered a package last month that should have been delivered in November.
Whew.
So
I hope it wasn't like candy or something.
Yeah, honest, I have no clue.
So
you know,
so Dan, what do you do?
I'm a safety professional in the industrial construction world. I work pipelines right now, but I built power plants, refineries, ethanol plants, things of that nature.
Okay, cool. And so, like, pipelines, are we building pipelines right now?
We're not currently building my pipeline, so we'll be looking for another one.
I'm down in Texas, and the pipelines have all come to a screeching halt as far as building. I'm in the transportation industry, and I saw a lot of pipe come down towards West Texas over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, but all of a sudden that's stopped. So I didn't know if you guys were actually building at the time.
You know, I will be in your neck of the woods Monday, and there's some discussion that's going to take place on exactly what we're talking about right there.
Now you say neck of the woods. Are you going to be in Abilene?
I'll actually be in Houston. Then I'll go down to Tyler and Corrigan. So I won't be too far from you because I'm actually in Nebraska.
Yeah, so that's not anywhere near me, but I don't know if you know this, but Texas is kind of big.
Well, I associate being in the state of Texas as being near y'all.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. If you're in Houston, you're like 8 hours away, so that's not too close.
Oh, that's not bad.
But, so Scott,
that's a normal day's drive for Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's not for me, though. Scott, what do you do, brother?
So I work in the finance department, and I manage a global team of analysts. We basically calculate sales commissions for a global sales team within our company.
Anal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good, man. I see that each one of you guys bring a special skill set to the team. So, I mean, the good thing is you're not all three the same. And so everybody can fill a special role in the organization. I like seeing diversity whenever you pull a group together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was part of our goal when we put the three of us together, is that we all didn't think alike. So that way we get different ideas, and we went with the number three, because if we ever deadlock on two people that are disagreeing about something, we always have a tiebreaker too. So
mm-hmm. Now who's that one? I'm guessing that Chris is using the tiebreaker.
Times, yeah. But there are times when Dan and I differ and Scott has to come in and be that tiebreaker.
Okay. Well, that's a great unity that you guys show, and I like the whole program. I like the group. I like what it's about, and I mean, I love the patch. Scott, hats off. Did you actually design the patch?
I didn't design the hooligan himself, but as far as the patch and putting it all together, that was my design. And we actually have already in the works a couple of other patches. The guy will always stay the same. As far as, I mean, he's our hooligan, you know, he's who we are. But as far as the design of the patch, for other organizations, we do have some others that are coming out there. Like Dan had mentioned, one of the next ones that we have, actually the next one is going to be for, breast cancer awareness. And it'll go to support Susan G. Komen. So you can assume that it's going to be on the pink side. But it's a beautiful looking patch. We'll have stickers with it. And we're going to start that up sometime in September.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So where do you see, I mean, let me ask you this. How many hooligans are there right now?
So right now we've got about 140. Wow. And that's since the middle of June. You know, in June, we were only live for about 15 days. And within that 15 days, we were able to put together a donation of $247 to Cigars for Warriors. Again, that was, you know, not even a full month. And we were just getting started since we've added stickers. So people are now buying stickers as well as the patches. And we're getting there. We're moving up. We've got people every day. The audience is definitely growing. The one thing that we really would like is, and I know it's a little bit hard because a lot of these people are, you know, not stationed here in the States, but we really would love to see, you know, some of our military across all branches, you know, holding these patches, you know, putting these stickers somewhere, you know, and, you know, knowing that we're supporting them.
That's awesome. Yeah. So how, if someone wants to become a hooligan and they haven't seen you guys yet, how do they, where do you want them to go to do what they need to do? Like, where can they find out all the information?
Yeah. So, and the biggest place is really Instagram. If they were to go to our Instagram, right on the bio, there's a link that'll take them to, the challenge and explain the challenge, and what the, you know, the contribution for the patch goes to. And obviously if they have any questions, they can DM us. The three of us all have access to the Instagram. So at any given time, they'll get a response pretty quick. We tend not to let people wait. You know, it's pretty important to us. And we have noticed that it's pretty important to the people that are following us.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you want to become a hooligan, you can look up the Instagram and tell us the Instagram spelling.
So it's at Hooligans of the Leaf. And Hooligans is H-U-L-A-G-A-N-S. And then at the Leaf, I'm sorry, of the Leaf,
yeah, right.
All together. It's right there. It's pretty easy to find. This is what the patch looks like. If you see it, you can't miss it.
Yeah, great looking patch, man. It's probably one of my favorites that I've seen, period, across the cigar world anyway. And that's saying a lot, because we have our own patch. So you kind of made mine not look as good. I'm jealous.
Well, that's also the good thing is we're just not U.S. based. We have hooligans in the U.K. and Germany. Mm-hmm. So it's worldwide, and that's what we want.
Recently had somebody in France. And to add to what Chris was saying, we have somebody in South Africa as well. So we are reaching the globe. And, you know, that's the intent, is to try and reach as many people as possible. You know, and I do want to say one thing, and I think this is something important that I want everybody to understand, is that, you know, we're not a club. This is not a cigar club. We're basically a community. As we all say, it's a lifestyle. You know, this is a lifestyle that we all live, trying to find that inner peace, that inner child, that 5 minutes of you know, stress-free life. And I want people to realize that it doesn't matter, you know, what patch you wear, you know, whether you're in one club or another, or three or four clubs. You know, this is club aside. This is a lifestyle, and that's important for people to understand. You don't have to have, you know, a specific club patch to belong. The three of us belong to multiple clubs. But this is our lifestyle.
That's very cool, man. I dig it. And I encourage you to go to Instagram and check out the Hooligans of the Leaf. Do what you need to do. You're supporting a great cause. And just want to say thank you guys for coming on the show and telling us about your community. And I look forward to being a part of it myself.
I appreciate it. We're looking forward to that bathtub picture.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I'll get to work on that. I'll have to clear it with the boss. You know, I don't know if she'll let me smoke a cigar in the bathroom, but
all I can say is please use bubbles. That's all I ask. Please use bubbles.
Let me tell you something. If I'm in the bath, there's always bubbles.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll be talking to all of you soon. And Chris, we'll be talking to you every day like we always do. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed those interviews. Man, two great additions to the show.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the hooligans and what they're doing for Cigars for Warriors, they're fixing to start doing some breast cancer charity work. And so hats off to those guys. And I will be getting my patch soon because I have done the hooligan challenge. And I can't wait for you to see it. You're going to be amazed.
Dude, nothing amazes me when it comes to you. No matter how. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't. think of the weirdest thing you could ever think of possible, and Rob has done it. Not will do it, has done it. Has done it, man.
You know what? My cousin, like, challenged me on that not too long ago. We were on a Zoom meeting, and he was like, dude, that's sick. And I was like, no, that's not sick. Let me tell you what's sick. And then after I was done, he was like, what is wrong with you?
Great question. Let's hear the answer.
Well, speaking of weird,
uh-oh,
I was on Facebook earlier today, and I come across an old guy that I went to high school with.
So that means you're old, too?
Yes, I am old. But what was weird was I didn't even know we were friends on Facebook. And the thing about it is, this dude was like, I was wild as a teenager.
Uh-huh. We can believe that.
This dude made me look like a saint.
I can't believe that.
His dad was the Secretary of State of Education in Texas. Uh-huh. They lived in a mansion in Lubbock on 19th Street, which, like, that's the premier
area
badass houses.
Okay.
Right across the street from Tech.
The great zip code.
Yeah. Okay. And, dude, when his mom and dad would be out of town, we had parties at this mansion. It Risky was crazy. Business. Yeah. It was crazy. And anyway, after he got out of high school, he was arrested for putting pipe bombs in mailboxes. Him and two other guys. But because his dad,
who was who he was,
right, he got a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, that's federal felony.
That is. That is,
and it wasn't one. I want to say they did like eight.
That's a terroristic attack.
Yeah. So anyway, and then he got arrested, I believe, for selling marijuana. He was growing it. And I heard they caught him because the amount of electricity he was using, the meter was just going crazy.
They do that. Then they bring the thing that the fire department has to see if you got fire in the walls, and they put that on the side. This room is hot. He's growing.
Yeah.
He's growing.
Yeah. And they said there was a bulb like that.
In the room.
Like the sun.
Yeah.
And so anyway, and then, you know, he didn't get nothing out of that. And so I have not seen or heard from him since high school. Privilege. Right. And then, I was like, what is this dude up to?
In your mind, you're like, he was way out there in school. What is he? Has he changed?
Not at all. Not at all. Dude, I went on his page and Tartarian architecture. He does videos in towns looking at old buildings because it's something to do with the devil. I don't know what. I didn't dive in. I was just like,
has he ever gone to Washington?
Or Russia?
No. That's where he needs to go. Washington, D.C. and just stand. You can see everything you want to see. But, man, oh, God.
Well, he was in one video that I saw, he was in Fredericksburg at a church that was built in like 1870.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it went back a few years. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting because, you know, I happened to go across another friend of mine, Paige, and he was just a regular, normal guy, and he's now very successful.
Yeah.
He's not weird.
He's not weird, but then we go back here.
It's like, wow.
Look, he still stayed the same.
And you think about
this one, he actually progressed.
Well, and you think about
and Rob in the middle.
When you think about the actual privilege that the guy had with his dad, the Secretary of State, and you have two paths when your dad is that important, so to speak.
Yeah.
You either
follow him.
Or go against.
It's totally against, yeah.
And this guy went totally against. And I mean, it was like, wow.
Wow. It's amazing. Well, you go back to, who was it? The guy that ran to Mexico. He got the charge and he went to Mexico, the young guy. And then they argued because he couldn't go to jail because he was too young and too. I'm like, hold up. They send young people to jail every day.
Well, that reminds me of, like, when that guy was in some other country and broke the law and got caned. And everybody
lost their minds.
Yeah, and it was like.
But that's their law over
dude,
there.
Dude, he broke the law over there.
Over there. Not here. And see, that's where.
And the only reason that was blown out of proportion was because he was an American.
Yeah.
Other people get caned over there because they break the law, too.
And they come from other countries, and they don't care. You broke the law. Be a Russian over there and do something. You think Vladimir is going to say something about it?
Right.
He ain't going to say, don't send them back. Don't send them back. Man, we want everybody to act like we act. You can't.
Right.
People have their own ways. And
people don't even act like us just because we're
here,
in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm not going there. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Hey, you know what? Texas is a very diverse culturally and geographic
state. I will
give
you that.
Because you have everything here.
I will give you that.
You really do.
Because you just got to talking about Fredericksburg, which is German.
Right.
And a lot of everything in there is about the German heritage.
A lot. Do you know how that happened?
No.
So I don't know if you know this.
I just told you.
But I'm asking, this is something related, but not directly.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know this, that during World War II, there was a lot of German POWs shipped to Texas, and we had prisons for them. And then after the war, we let them out, and they didn't go home.
I wouldn't either.
Well, no, but I mean, that's how most of these communities started.
Okay.
And so, you know, it was very, very interesting. I didn't know that until just like 2 or 3 years ago. I was like, wow, there was one in Ranger. There was one in Fredericksburg. There was, I mean, San Angelo. They're all over. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I just learned that like 2 or 3 years ago.
Wow. That is.
But then
intriguing.
You also have, I mean, you have, of course, the influence from Mexico. We have a large black population.
Yeah.
We have Asian populations.
You're getting a lot of Eastern European.
You know what we don't have a lot of Italians. Have you noticed that?
That's going to be it's too hot for all that moose. Their hair gel will just disintegrate down here.
Well,
they need a cooler climate for their hair to stay just the way. And I'm just joking because I got a lot of Italian friends. Please don't get upset with me.
What about? There's a lot of Irish here, but they don't congregate together unless they're wearing sheets.
This is,
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Wow.
That was a joke.
Wow. You said it. Make sure they know you said that. Look at me. We're turning red.
So let me say, I'm 81% Irish.
I know that. That's why I can laugh at it.
Yeah.
You talk about it all the time.
I don't want some Irish people calling me and be like, that wasn't funny.
We sent in a leprechaun after.
Now, is that Irish?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes I get Irish and Scottish.
Those are the kilts, whatever it is, the skirts.
Hey, and we have some Hawaiians in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're very diverse here.
More than
most people would think.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know what I mean? Because people have a stereotypical idea of what being Texas is.
10-gallon hat.
Right.
Guns Dude, everywhere.
You know, my mother's family was from Canada.
Uh-huh.
And when we went up to visit, they actually thought that we still rode horses. Hey, can somebody give him some mouth-to-mouth?
I can believe that.
Dude, and you know.
Because you remember what my first impression of Texas was when I got down and they had the posse up for that. I'm like, a posse? Me being an ex-cop, I'm like, a posse? And then I see everybody riding on horses with bloodhounds. I'm like, where in the world am I? I'm like, is this for real? And he's like, yeah, man.
You were thinking Cool Hand Luke.
Yes. He's like, yeah, we got somebody escaped from the county jail. And I'm like, dude, y'all on horses with bloodhounds. He said, yeah, we got to find them. I sent out a message to every cop friend I had in Illinois. These motherfuckers for real down here, man. Look, they on horses.
Hey, a posse is 7 guys on horseback.
On horses with bloodhounds.
Probably about 5 to 6 bloodhounds.
Going after somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody got away. That blew my
mind. The thing about it is, because we still do that, I mean,
yes!
You can run and hide But you can get away from a car.
Can't get away from a dog.
But nor a dog horse. And a horse, nope. I can go anywhere.
Anywhere. The dog is going to go anywhere. That horse can go almost anywhere just to follow that dog.
Right.
I was just like, this is, that blew my mind. I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm thinking, this has got to be a movie somebody shooting. I'm looking for cameras. I'm like, I got punked. I got it. He's like, nah, man, dude, skate. He left on the work crew. He was a part of the work crew, and he disappeared.
Just like Cool Hand Luke. I'm like,
you got to be kidding me.
Shaking that leaf, boss.
Shaking that leaf, boss.
Hey, if you have not seen Cool Hand Luke, you need to do that this weekend, because you are missing out on one of the all-time classic films.
It is a classic. It is a classic.
And, I mean, it's one of a kind.
Yes.
There's nothing else like
it. Nobody could ever make that again.
No.
Ever.
It's because it would not be realistic. It was shot in a way where you were there with them.
And they shot it in black and white, true to the era. It was
in color.
The ones I saw was in black and white.
Well, that's because you were poor.
Well, we were, but we weren't that poor. We had a color television.
It had color. It's color.
You talking about the Turner version.
No.
It was the colorized.
Original. No, the original.
Dude, I'm telling you, I saw it in black and white. And dude, it was beautiful.
Let me tell you one thing you don't know about me. My senior year of high school, I took film analogy.
Film analogy?
That was a class.
It was?
Yes. It was a complete blow-off class because all we did was watch classic movies.
In your high school?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't even know that class existed. And they were like, hey, you got to pick another class. You don't have enough credits. And I was like, oh, film analogy? I don't know what that is, but that's got to be cool.
We didn't have that in East St. Louis.
Yeah. White privilege.
Dude, y'all had a class where you just watched movies.
Yeah. And then we discussed them.
You had to discuss them. Yeah, but you still got to watch movies.
Very cool. Very cool class.
Hell yeah. It's a very cool.
Dude, that's where I saw the first time Cool Hand Luke, Dr. Strangelove.
I saw that.
Ben-Hur.
Yes.
2001 Space Odyssey. Yes. Dude, the list of movies goes on, and it was all the old classics.
Wow,
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Wow. I would have killed to be in that class.
It was my after-lunch class.
Oh, that's even worse.
Oh, it was great.
You'd be standing there waiting on lunch to end, man. I got to get to class, man. What y'all watching today? Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. I had the late lunch, so I only had that one class, and then I went to football.
Yeah, football practice.
So I would go watch movies for an hour and 10 minutes.
And then go to football.
It was a great.
Ooh-wee.
It was good times. But anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Sorry we got off on the little wild chase there. I just thought it was interesting about people, the way they turn out on their choices they make.
Yeah, it's true.
So, anyway, guys, that's going to do it for this show. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time.
Keep smoking.
Boom.